So I want to start off reading James, the first chapter, and I want to start in verse 2 through 4. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." All of us here this morning, with the exception of maybe the little ones, understand that weight of trials that's mentioned in verse 2. But James says, and makes a strange remark here, to count it all joy. And I say it sounds strange because when you're going through trials, do you think being joyful? It is saying in this account here, count it all joy when you're suffering financial strain, when you're struggling in relationships, maybe husband and wife, brothers and sisters, parents and children, maybe brethren within the church. It also means count it all joy when you're going through poor health and when you're body is overtaken by such a thing as cancer, or when death rips our loved ones away, count it all joy. Does that seem to line up to our human nature side? And it's hard for us to think about this and hard for us to swallow, but it's one of those things that even when we talk about it, when we study about it, we say, oh, when that stuff comes, we'll be able to handle it. We'll be able to count it joy because we've got God on our side. But when it actually happens, how do we react? Do we listen to James here and count it all joy? James tells us that when we are facing these trials in life, whether we're dealing with trials on the outside or temptations on the inside, we can experience victory through our faith in God, knowing that He will provide that escape. There's a very familiar passage that we all know in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 that I'll read real quick. It says that there hath no temptation taken you but which is such as common to man. This is the best part about this passage here. It says, but God is faithful. There is no temptation that has taken you which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. This is a very comforting verse. Understanding that God is with us. He is faithful. I want to notice again that James assumes, back in James 1 chapter, and verse 2, that we will experience trials. He doesn't say if. I know sometimes we look at words and sometimes we overlook at words, but sometimes words in certain areas are very important to slow down and look at. He doesn't say if. He says when. This is because as Christians, we must expect trials. We have Satan who fights against us daily. We have a world that opposes who we are. We will face various trials and temptations. But again, let's go back to what was originally started. We're to count it all joy. Jesus himself warns us in John, the 16th chapter, in verse 33, that in the world you will have tribulations. But he says, take heart, I, meaning Jesus, have overcome the world. These trials that we read in verse 3 and 4 are there to test us and help us become mature in our faith in God so that way we can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I've got a lot of favorite songs. I'm sure each of you do. But one song that has been stuck in my mind for really several years is one that we've learned. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's a song called Until Then. And it's actually in one of the supplements, song books that we've got. And I'd like to just read this real quick because it's one of those songs that just stick with you when you're at work, when you're driving down the road, maybe when you're at home, because the words of this is very powerful. And it reads, "My heart can sing when I pause to remember. A heartache here is but a stepping stone. Along a trail that's winding always upward, this troubled world is not my final home. The second verse says, "The things of earth will dim and lose their value. If you recall, they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remembered there, will only bring a smile." The third verse, "This weary world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the sky." And the chorus reads, "But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home." Thinking about that song and thinking about the words of that in light of what we've read here in James so far, how can I count it joy when I'm facing trials, when I'm going through all this heartache of life, trials that honestly feel like I cannot overcome them? They're too much to bear. Well, it's just like the words of this song, that we know that we can count it joy, and we know that we can overcome them. Because if we continue in our obedience to God, then one day He will call me home. What joy that will bring to us, knowing that we can overcome any trial if we allow God to help us. If you will, turn real quickly to Romans, the 5th chapter. We'll be reading a few verses from here that I want us to look at as we continue this thought. Romans 5, starting in verse 1. Romans 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, but God's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." There's so many things that we can look at and study through about this passage, but I want to take a moment and look primarily at the steadfastness and the patience that is mentioned here. This steadfastness and this patience that we read is not an acceptance of the circumstances that we find ourselves. It speaks to us more around the thought of the ability or the constantly staying the course even when we are facing the most difficult times in life. It is the thought of, "I will serve the Lord no matter how much this world tries to bring me down, no matter how many fiery darts that the devil will throw at me, again, we will serve the Lord. We will stand that ground." We need to make sure that we work on that steadfastness and that patience. If you will turn back to James, the 1st chapter, we're going to continue through our study here, and I want to pick up in verse 5. James chapter 1 and verse 5. "If anyone of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not be supposed that he would receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his way." So again, James here just continues with more things for us to work on. If we lack wisdom, we're simply to ask it from God. What exactly is this wisdom we should be asking for? We should be careful to distinguish wisdom from knowledge. You know, we understand that knowledge involves information, facts, experience, etc., where wisdom is the ability or the insight to properly use those facts in a way that God would expect. And failure to understand this distinction has led many into error. Many believe that this passage teaches that God will just give you knowledge concerning His will in answer to prayer, but knowledge comes to us through His written Word. So we must study His Word to know the true will of God. We need to make sure that when we look at His Word, we're looking at what He's saying to us and not what we want this passage to say. I'm reminded in the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to be reading verse 7 through 12. First Kings chapter 3. Starting in verse 7, we see here a prayer from Solomon. It says, starting in verse 7, "And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for the multitude. Give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches of life or your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you wisdom and a discerning mind, so that you there may be none like you before, or none like you shall rise after you." God encourages us to be like Solomon. He encourages us to imitate him and ask for wisdom. We find that Solomon's request for wisdom was well pleasing to God, because his request was not from a selfish nature. It wasn't one that was able to be the wisest man on earth or have the most money or all these things that we would love to have in our life, right? He rather asked that he could simply discern between what was good and evil and know how to lead this great people. He wanted this wisdom because he realized that he was a young man. He was a young man put in a very powerful role, that he needed to govern God's people, and he needed God's help. This wisdom to properly use trials and turn them into triumph in our life comes through that proper prayer to God. And having that proper prayer to ask God in faith and without doubting, as we mentioned already. I want to go back to James and continue on in verse 12. James 1, verse 12 through 16. It said, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, or when he had stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God had promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brothers." One of the greatest challenges of living a Christian life is dealing with trials and temptations. Whether you're a new Christian, whether you've been a Christian for 50 plus years, one thing's not changed. Life is not easy. In these passages we have just read, we find encouraging words for the Christian in the form of a promise and also a caution. A promise that those who endure temptations in our lives, and a caution to not be deceived by the cunning works of the devil. Verse 12 starts by calling one who endures blessed. It said, "Blessed is that man." Blessed in a way of having happiness or comfort in something. This nature of this happiness is described later in the verse for after he has been proved, or some versions may say after they've been tested, he will receive the crown of life. This promise to us is the promise of eternal life for those who demonstrate or prove their love for God by enduring the temptations, enduring the trials that we go through each and every day. 1 Peter 4 and verse 19 says, therefore let those who suffer according to God, or according to God's, will entrust their soul to a faithful Creator while doing good. We will suffer in our walk with God, but we need to be faithful to Him because He's faithful to us. We see the promise that is written for us, but let us also look at the caution to not be deceived. We need to understand that Satan is looking for our weakness in life. And he's finding not only how to deceive us, but also how to get us to turn our backs to God. God is the source of good, not evil. We know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. But will you let Satan creep in? Will you let Satan tell you that the trials you're facing are from God? The temptations that you deal with day in and day out are because God wants to see you in pain and misery? Sin entered this world and causes so much pain, so much agony. But we need to understand that God is there for us. God is faithful. And He's there to help. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. One last passage I want to read before we bring this sermon to a close is in Philippians. If you'll turn there, Philippians 4. Philippians 4, we're going to start reading in verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 9 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Whatever you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. When I think about the life of Paul, if I think of anyone that had reason to be anxious, it was Paul. You think about all the things we study and we learn about him in his life. You know, he had his friends at Philippi who were disagreeing with one another. There were preachers in Rome who were filled with envy and strife. They were out to get Paul. Paul himself was under house arrest. He was put in prison, yet we see time and time again Paul repeats the same thought throughout his letters, and that is to rejoice. Evidently, Paul had found the secret of overcoming anxiety, and he shares that secret with us today. That antidote, or that secret for this victory over anxiety, is having the right kind of prayer in our lives. We're basically told not to worry about anything, but pray about everything. We tend to pray about big things in our life, right? When there's something major going on in our life, it's like, okay, now we need to go to God and pray. But unfortunately, if we leave those unattended little things in our lives, they grow to be big things. So make sure that we're going to God in prayer with everything in your life. All this is possible through Christ Jesus. He is the source of every spiritual blessing from God, including the peace that passes all understanding, and we must be in Christ. So if we desire to have this peace, we must first understand that we must be within Christ. This freedom over our trials, this freedom over our temptations in life, all come from being in Christ. Do you desire the peace of God? Then you must be in Christ by being immersed in the watery grave of baptism, putting on that new man. Galatians 3 verses 26 and 27, "For in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And then you must keep praying to God to help you through every step of life, making God that focus in your life every single day. So do you have that peace today? Those who are Christians already, are you going to God to help you through your trials in life? He can and will give you the peace you are looking for. But if you are yet to be a Christian, I want you to seriously think, what peace do you have? There are things in this world that may bring you that temporary peace, that comfort you may be looking for, but that's all it is. It's temporal. If you need that true eternal peace that only God can give you, then we ask that no matter your situation be, that you be putting God in your life today. Don't delay any longer for any reason just because you may have that temporal peace. We need to be baptized in Christ now to have that peace. This doesn't mean once you're baptized that all those trials, all those temptations will be gone and your life will automatically become easier. But what it will do is be able to help us understand James 1 and verse 2 a lot better on how we can count it joy. We'll be able to count it joy knowing that there is rest, there is peace waiting for you. So if you desire to make your life right with God and have that peace, we'd ask that you'd take this time this morning to come forward and let your wants and wishes be known as together we stand and sing.